Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here. This is Big Scary News for episode 120, and we're going to get started on some news on George Romero's unfinished novel via BloodyDisgusting.com. Before he passed away last year, the legendary George A. Romero had been working on a brand new zombie novel titled The Living Dead, which was set to bring his long-running zombie saga off the screen and into the world of print. Sadly, Romero never got the chance to complete the novel, but that hasn't put an end to the project. Entertainment Weekly reports that Daniel Krauss, who penned The Shape of Water's novelization, has signed on to finish the incomplete novel, being released by Tor in fall 2019. Quote, "What's exciting about the novel? It's huge. It's a massively scaled story, a real epic, the kind no one ever gave him the budget for in a film," Krauss tells the site. "In a book, of course, there is no budget, and in his pages you can feel his joy of being able at last to do every single thing he wanted. The state of the manuscript varied," Krauss says of the unfinished novel. "Some of it was in tremendous published-ready state. Others parts near the end of what he wrote were sketchier, clearly intended to be fleshed out later. In The Living Dead, on October 24th, John Doe rises from the dead. Assistant medical examiner Luis Acasella and his assistant Charlene Rutkowski are vivisecting him when it happens, and so begins a global nightmare beyond comprehension. Greer Morgan is a teenager living in a trailer park, and when the dead begin their assault, the true natures of her neighbors are revealed. Chuck Chaplin is a pretty boy cable news anchor, and the plague brings sudden purpose to his empty life. Carl Nishimura is a helmsman of the USS Vindicator, a nuclear submarine, and he battles against a complete zombie takeover of his city upon the sea. And meanwhile, a mysterious woman named Etta Hoffman records the progress of the epidemic from a bunker in D.C., as well as the broken dreams and stubborn hopes of a nation not ready to give up. Spread across three separate time periods and combining Romero's biting social commentary with Krauss's gift for the beautiful and grotesque, the book rockets forward as the zombie plague explodes, endures, and finally, in a shocking final act, begins to radically change. As always, we'll keep you up to date on this and let you know more as we get it. We have this news from Grim Acres in Brandon, Manitoba, Canada, eh? Be a part of the effort to help us conquer cancer. Grim Acres Scareaway Cancer will be working alongside Brandon's finest barber, Quentin Durick, in an attempt to break the current world record for most heads shaved in 1 hour by one person, currently set at 75 people. The Brave to Shave to Conquer Cancer world record attempt will be held on location at Grim Acres from 2 to 3 p.m. on October 6th. The rain date will be October 7th from 2 to 3 p.m. They'll feature concessions and family entertainment and more from 1 to 4 p.m. Children's entertainment will include a bouncy castle, laser tag, and kids' carnival. Admission is free. Donations to the Canadian Cancer will be gladly accepted. All proceeds raised will be donated to the CCS and their many programs that support bladder cancer prevention, education, research, and treatments. To register as a participant in the world record attempt head shave, visit grimacres.ca or their Facebook page, facebook.com/grimacresscareawaycancer. We have a little news from the Dark Hour Haunted Attraction in Plano, Texas. You'll need more than the luck of the Irish to survive this struggle. The Irish hold the legend of St. Patrick, whose story is a common one, and the witches know it well. They waited until the veil between the world of humans and the world of fairies was stretched thin, and Shannon McKenna rose to power in the Dark Hour Coven. She called upon the leprechaun and the Fomorian giants, the trolls, fairies, and goblins. She demanded that they go out and hunt men, using them in rituals as she makes mockery of the holiday, to wreak havoc on the land and spread fear in the surrounding areas so the coven can take hold is their only purpose. They swarm at the call of the witches. The numbers of the wee and fairy folk grow, coming through the portal from the Green Isle, but the witch Shannon McKenna is too greedy and has reached too far. Even a magical hold of the little people is broken if you try to take their gold. Now they're taking back what is theirs and more, and the witches are scrambling for power and dominance with you in the crossfire. Dark Hour Haunted House presents St. Patrick's Slay, March 16th through the 17th only. Get tickets and more information at darkhourhauntedhouse.com. We have this update from Monster Mania Con in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Monster Mania Con 39, 3 days of sheer terror, March 9th through the 11th at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And this year making his debut at Monster Mania Con is none other than the legendary Tim Curry. From the Rocky Horror Picture Show to Stephen King's It to Legend, Scary Movie 2, Adam's Family Reunion, and so much more, Tim Curry will be appearing Friday and Saturday only. Tim joins Richard Dreyfuss, John Carpenter, Cassandra Peterson, Randy Quaid, Paul Rubens, and many others to be announced. Don't miss your chance to meet Tim Curry at Monster Mania Con 39. Get tickets and more information at monstermania.net. We have this film news on a spin-off movie, The Nun, via bloodydisgusting.com. Warner Brothers has announced that they'll be shifting New Line's The Nun from July 13, 2018 to September 7, 2018. Following The Conjuring and its Annabelle spinoff, The Nun centers on a young nun at a cloistered abbey in Romania, taking her own life with a priest with a haunted past and a novitiate on the threshold of her final vows sent by the Vatican to investigate. Together they uncover the Order's unholy secret and confront a malevolent force in the form of the same demonic nun from The Conjuring 2. Directed by Corin Hardy, the film stars Tassia Famiga, Demian Bashir, Bonnie Ahrens, Charlotte Hope, Jonas Bloquet, and Ingrid Bisou. We have this interesting gaming news from Capcom via bloodydisgusting.com again. With Capcom's Monster Hunter World being a big hit, one has to wonder why Capcom is pulling this sort of promotion stunt, but whatever. According to IGN, to celebrate the release of the game, which has shipped over 5 million units since its launch, making it the fastest selling entry in the franchise, Capcom is partnering with the Center of Fortean Zoology founder Jonathan Dowse to offer $70,000 quote, to anyone who can provide conclusive evidence of one of 10 real-life monsters. The catch for all of this is that you must provide proof of one of the monsters by June 30th in order to cash in. After receiving the evidence, Downs and his team will analyze it, and any hunter who provides definite proof will be awarded the prize, with multiple winners splitting the pot. Here's the list of monsters that Downs and his team are requesting hunters to provide definitive proofs of their existence. Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, the Mongolian Death Worm, Mermaids, Earth Hounds, the Yeti, Chupacabra, hear that storm, the Flying Snake of Namibia, Yowie, Cornish Owlman, and Almasty. Monster Hunter World is available for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. We have a little news regarding the Elvira movie coming to Blu-ray. You may remember the announcement back in late 2016 that the 1988 film Elvira, Mistress of the Dark was getting a Blu-ray release, courtesy of German company Cinespectral Films. The Blu-ray was set to be released that December, but was pushed back a few times before being canceled entirely last August. Long story short, Cinespectral went under, killing the release. However, in an exciting tease over on Facebook recently, Arrow Video have announced that They will be the first company to bring Elvira's big screen debut to Blu-ray. Details coming soon. As we hear it, so will you. So keep listening. Speaking of films, we have this news from Terror Films via BroadwayWorld.com. With their diverse library of indie horror films continuing to dominate major digital platforms around the world, genre distributor Terror Films is currently seeking completed short films. These shorts will be used to enter the limited television series space. The original series concept will be titled Terror Films Presents Terrifying Tuesdays. This series will be comprised of 6 original, never-before-seen short films presented in a weekly episodic format. Each episode will be released as a standalone episode once a week, every Tuesday for 6 weeks leading up to Halloween. On Halloween Day, Wednesday, October 31st, viewers will be able to binge-watch all 6 episodes. Each episode would open with a pre-produced prologue created by the label specifically for the series. Selected filmmakers will share in the revenue generated, either through a licensing deal secured by the label or from the Amazon Prime Revenue Share Program. Terror Films executive and head of acquisitions, Jim Clock, will be overseeing the submission and selective process. Films will be subjected to very specific guidelines which the distributor has provided. The deadline to submit your completed short is June 1st. Submission guidelines include, inclusive of credits, short should be no less than 25 minutes, but no more than 40 minutes maximum. Films must be 100% completed. Absolutely no scenes of violence towards women, excessive nudity, extreme graphic violence, or overt visual gore. Shorts must not have had any online exposure at all, including YouTube, Vimeo, iTunes, Amazon, Festival, or filmmakers' websites, social media, etc. Festival participation is okay, but they must not have appeared online in any way. You must own all rights to the images, actors, and the musical score. Festival rights only will not be accepted. Only seeking English-speaking shorts. No foreign language films with or without subtitles will be considered. And the submission deadline, again, is June 1st. If your film meets the above guidelines, please submit them to submissions@terrorfilms.net and get more information at terrorfilms.net. We have this news on the next Sharknado movie via BloodyDisgusting.com. We expect it'll be given a super corny subtitle in the coming months, but Sci-Fi certainly tapped into something back in 2013 with the premiere of Sharknado, the ridiculous creature feature that grabbed the attention of the internet and appealed to our collective desire to watch really, really dumb movies. The Sharknado franchise has become an annual tradition since then, to date spawning 4 sequels. Not surprisingly, Sharknado 6 is coming out this summer, and the first plot details, along with an early piece of poster art, have come out of the internet. In the 6th installment, all is lost, or is it? Finn unlocks the time-traveling power of the Sharknados in order to save the world and resurrect his family. In his quest, Finn fights Nazis, dinosaurs, knights, and even takes a ride on Noah's Ark. This time, it's not how to stop the Sharknados, it's when. Tara Reid, Ian Ziering, and Cassie Serbo return. Sharknado 6 will premiere on July 25th. We have this update from the West Coast Haunters Convention. Join us Friday night for our haunt tour of Millburn Manor and the Dark in Hubbard, Oregon, just outside of Portland. The manor is Millburn's flagship haunt and is designed as a classic-style haunted house. The Dark, as the name implies, means you should be prepared to wander in areas of complete darkness, where only ghouls and zombies can see and hide. The fee for the event includes a bus ride to and from the haunt. Food is available for purchase at the haunt. Get more information on the West Coast Haunters Convention, a very worthy charity event, at hauntersconvention.com or facebook.com/hauntersconvention. We have this news on the film Offerings via BrokeHorrorFan.com. Offerings will be released on Blu-ray on March 20th via Dark Force Entertainment and Code Red DVD in association with Kino Lorber Studio Classics. No word on special features, but it has received a new 4K master. The 1989 slasher film is written and directed by Christopher Reynolds, J. Michael Ferguson, Richard Buswell, Toby Sexton, and G. Michael Smith star. 10 years after he was pushed down a well, a young man kills off the neighborhood bullies who tormented him and leaves their body parts as presents for the one girl who was kind to him. And finally, we have this news from the 16th Annual Rondo Awards. Since 2002, the Rondo Hatton Classic Horror Awards have been fandom's only classic horror awards decided by fans for fans. Every nominee is being recognized for significant work or achievement in the year 2017, so add your voice and help make a difference. How to vote? Voting is by email only. Simply copy the ballot. You can cut and paste into an email and mark your choices with an X, or highlighting works fine. Or you can type out your choices, whichever is easiest. Send an email with your picks to David Colton at Taraco, T-A-R-A-C-O, at AOL.com by Sunday night, April 8th at midnight. You don't have to vote in every category. Vote for all or a few. One vote per person, please. Every email must include your name to be counted. All votes are kept strictly confidential. No email addresses or personal information will ever be shared with anyone. Feel free to spread the word about the Rondo voting. Go social on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Place Rondo banners on websites and urge friends and fans to vote. But please do not mass produce or duplicate ballots. Suspicious ballots will be rejected at the sole discretion of Rondo organizers. Let's keep this a fun vote. Again, to vote in the Rondo Awards, email your picks to taraco@aol.com. Finally, thanks to always to the thousands of fans, pros, and friends who have voted year after year. We look forward to hearing from you again. Let's make Rondo 16 the best ever. You can go vote and see a list of all the nominees at rondoaward.com/rondoaward.com/blog. Good luck to all the nominees. That wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Here we go. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We're live at Days of the Dead in Atlanta, Georgia. We are chatting with celebrities and vendors and having such a great time. A lot of people here I have never seen before. We've talked to a couple of people from Stephen King's It who've never done conventions. This gentleman here was in one of the most successful franchises of all time, Friday the 13th, Part 8. You may remember a guy on the roof facing off Jason and wanted to do a little boxing match with him. Well, we all know how that ended, but I got V.C. Dupree here. How are you, sir?
I am well. I'm well. Enjoying the fans, just having a real good time.
And I notice you have a, shall we say, disembodied head, so we absolutely do know how that turned out. That's an actual prop from the movie, correct?
Yes,
that's absolutely. That's the one that went in the dumpster there after he, yeah. Well...
No, actually, this is the one that is the money shot version. Okay, so there was three. Okay, so the one that I have here available to see, in touch, in view, is the one they used for the close-ups.
Oh, okay.
But then there was a heavier one that they used that actually hit the garbage can with a thud. My grandmother has that. And then there was a lighter one that they tossed up in the air for the aerial shots, sure. And my mom has that.
I'm going to say, how does your grandmother entertain guests and say, oh, this is my grandson's head?
With a shot of brandy and a smile. She loves it. she loves it. But you know what? A funny little quick story here, and I said this the other day, that it just kind of shows how far we've come as far as, like, even the times and, like, with travel. TSA was pretty much non-existent to people if you weren't in the industry.
Oh, sure.
I brought those damn three heads back from Canada in a hefty freaking steel sack on the plane. Okay? So good luck with doing that now.
Yeah, how far we've come. Thanks, 9/11. But anyway, let's talk about this. You're a part of the most iconic franchise crew. You're one of Kane Hodder's however many hundreds of thousands of people he's killed out there. People are coming up to you, and they're talking about what?
How did it feel to be killed by Kane? And was I really punching as hard as it looks? And the answer is great and hail to the yeah. Just ask Kane.
Yeah. He can take a punch. He's a big, yeah. Big beefy guy.
But you know what? I have not read his book, but I hear people saying that in the book he gives mad props. He's like, you know what? VC kicked my ass. He came with it. So
now, did he tell you to do that? Don't pull or punch or anything?
No. Actually, I pretty much just asked him. I said, hey, dude, you know what this is, right? He goes, of course. Who do you think you're talking to? I'm like, okay, we're going to do this? And he goes, yeah, sure. He says 15 minutes later, he damn near regretted letting this cat know, yeah, we're going to do this. Because even though he had pads on, you're talking about two nights back-to-back, just like nonstop punching. And, you know, I'm not the biggest person in the world, but on screen and throwing your weight into him, hell, after a couple of nights, you know, you feel it, baby.
How did you get the role? Was it one of those where you just went, there was an open audition, or did somebody say, hey, I think I got a guy for you who'd be really great for this? How did you get into that?
Well, initially, Paramount thought that the only way they can find a character to portray the kind of grit that they thought they wanted for this was to go to, like, Detroit and Chicago. So they were going to all these cities looking for real boxers, thinking that, okay, well, if I get the, you know, the grittier circumstance, then I can find somebody who can. Well, ultimately, they turned around full throttle, comes back to Paramount. And I had an audition. My agents called me in. But the funny thing about it is I went in there. Now, normally these cats, when you're auditioning, they never want to let on that they really like you. You know, they're like stone-faced, you know, because they don't want to, like, sure. F up their little negotiating ploy.
Right.
Okay, well, I go in there, and I killed it. I just freaking killed it. And so they said, look, kid, we love you. We love you, and we want you. You are Julius. However, how many sweatshirts do you have on underneath there? And I'm like, excuse me? Dude, I had on like about 8 or 10 sweatshirts, you know, because I'm, you know.
You're not the largest boxer I've ever seen in my life, but, you know.
Exactly. And then, but see, they take into account that when you're on film, you know, you're going to look big. And then also, too.
10 pounds.
Exactly. And so then they said, you know what, if you got this role, how long would it take to get some meat on your bones? And I said, yeah, a couple of weeks. So then they hired me a trainer. I did my own thing. And then the rest is history, as they say.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
How has that parlayed since then? Have you done other work and things? Or are you doing anything at this point that we can see maybe a 6 months, year down the road?
Actually, I'm with a production company right now. And from my mouth to God's ears, I think we just got our first show greenlit.
Oh, nice.
Okay,
congrats.
Yeah.
And, breaking news.
Yeah, and the last series actually I was on, it was Eastwick. They made a TV series off of the great show. But, you know, once again, the politics of Hollywood, I don't know who pissed off who at golf, but they moved our time slot, and then next thing you know, the ratings started going down. But, yeah, man, the production part, that's where I'm really, that's where my passion is really right now, you know?
It's interesting. I was talking to Jonathan Breck not too long ago at this show, and he was saying he's just gotten into production, and he likes that almost better than acting. He says it's just the whole thing behind it. He just really, really enjoys that.
Yeah, and the thing about it is it's so fulfilling for the, and not to sound corny, like, oh, but no, really, as far as you being able to have more of a role in what actually is seen, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because, like, for example, if I'm an actor, I can study my lines till I'm blue in the face. I can walk in and, as they say, just piss all over the set and just, like, lay down mad, mad face. But at the end of the day, if the editor has a vision, the director has a vision, what you end up seeing has nothing to do with my intention and what I did. As opposed to, if you have more of a role in production, then that vision, I can almost wholeheartedly determine what that character is. Right. So you're not putting in all that work for somebody just to say, we're not going to use that.
Yeah, you know how many times has somebody done something and said, this is how we're going to do it, and then you see it when it's in post, and it's like, what the heck?
There is some gold laying on the cutting room floor. I have laid down gold, I tell you. So, yeah, man.
There's gold in them dark cutting room floors.
Exactly. Exactly.
So for people wanting more information on VC Dupree, maybe we'll find out a little bit about this possible greenlit project down the road. Is there websites, social medias, anything like that where they can find out? Or maybe future con appearances. This is only your third one here, first one in the South. So maybe if the fans want to come and meet you and get an autograph and all that, do you have a website where people can get that
info? We mostly use Facebook. So just VC Dupree on Facebook. And I accept all friend requests. I actually handle it myself.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so
No.
Even though they always ask because they think it's such a big issue. But, you know, at the end of the day, who can't take time out of their day to return the love? You know what I mean? So, you know, I, granted, I don't get on it every single day. But when you get the messages from me and the response, that is me. So,
sure. You
know, I think it's worth it.
Excellent. You know? So, again, folks. VC Dupree on Facebook. Check him out. You might hear about some big show coming up in the near future. We don't know. But I want to wish you nothing but success on
that. Thank you.
And again, success here at Days of the Dead. Maybe we'll catch you at a future con down here.
Thank
Once again, my name is Drew Badger. We are at Days of the Dead here in Atlanta, Georgia for the Big Scary Show. And we're out.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, froggiesfog.com. Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.